Yes, sir. Inside the 8 o'clock hour now on The Fan. Thanks for holding. Thanks for not turning that dial or turning on a podcast or Kanye West album. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Let's get back into that conversation. I just heard the Johan Santana no-hitter. I'm in here watching David Cone's perfect game on the Yes Network, Yankee Classic. Let's get back into that Pete Alonso conversation. I'll say my piece again, and I could be wrong. And also, shout out to Coney. Coney, I ain't seen you in a while. I'll see you at the golf outing, though. David Cone's golf outing coming up in a couple weeks, I think August 8th. Shout out to you if you're going as well. 25 years ago today, David Cone threw a perfect game against the Montreal Expos at Yankee Stadium. I'm in here watching it right now. I was just a kid back then. I don't really remember it like that. But yeah, shout out to Coney. Mark Malusis was in here today. I got to run into Moose today. I know Moose will be at the golf outing. Maybe JJ After Dark, CeeLo. Who else from WFAN? Sweeney Murdy. Looking forward to seeing you guys. I have started taking golf lessons. Yes, I have taken some swings at Hudson Golf. My wife was smart, right? I'm hard to buy stuff for. Like, I usually just cop my own sneakers and outfits and things that I want. And my wife was like, here's a birthday present. And then she doubled down for Father's Day, getting me lessons. She's like, you keep saying you gotta learn how to golf, right? And last year I went and I just hung out on the cart and, you know, drove the cart around while everybody else played. This year I'm playing. And I'm sure I'm gonna be terrible. But at least I know how to swing now. And I'll take some swings and I'll see you guys there. But yeah, back to the Pete Alonso conversation. I have not heard Mets fans more split on Pete Alonso than right now. I had a Mets fan call me. Maybe he'll call again tonight. I forget your name. I'm sorry. But he was holding Pete Alonso's performance in the Home Run Derby against him. There are Mets fans that are so down on Pete. This is the polar bear. This is the face of the franchise. And I looked at it like this. I said, you know, now you just got some new shiny toys. Now you know, that was your girl. Now you got a couple numbers. Now you got a couple side chicks. The Pete was your main girl. Now you got options, right? Now you got Francisco Alvarez and Mark Vientos and JD Martinez. And, oh, my God, you got other guys that can hit home runs. Brandon Nimmo hitting for power. Francisco Lindor. Harrison Bader will put it out into the seven line, raise the apple, or whatever they do out there. But Pete is getting the short end of the stick again. And when I talk about Pete, I say Pete has watched all of these guys come into his clubhouse, in and out of his clubhouse, get paid all this Steve Cohen money. And he's like, where's my money? And that's why he hired Scott Boras. And unfortunately, his first half was not an Aaron Judge-like first half when you're looking to get paid. 888-808-1019. And everybody loves to somehow compare Judge and Pete Alonso. Oh, Judge should do the Home Run Derby. Look at Pete. No. Pete embarrassed himself in the Home Run Derby, but I like to think he's going to use that as motivation. I like to think he's going to have a good second half, and I don't think they're going to trade him. Nacho is in Bergen County. Nacho, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. Look, I want to speak about Pete because you can. I mean, are we going to really take into account the Home Run Derby? I mean, I think Pete went into the Home Run Derby not thinking about the Home Run Derby. I think he's thinking about getting into the second half of the season, making a statement that he is still that guy. And I think it was very important when he gave that interview, when he was speaking about his love for the city. I think it was very genuine because a player who isn't happy in a clubhouse will give a very vague statement, but he was very clear. And I think, like myself as a Mets fan, as a Pete fan, I love Pete. I think that he wants to take this first half of the season, which was very lackluster. I agree. Yeah, it's not his best, but he still has had a very good performance. But relatively, it wasn't the best for Pete because we know that he can do well, and he's always done well in the past. But I think he's going to use it as motivation. I don't think he had his head in the game when he was there swinging. You can see that he wasn't really, even though the pitches that were thrown at him were a little bit, but I don't want to excuse him, but, you know, I don't think he's really thinking about the Home Run Derby at the All-Star game. He's thinking about the New York Mets, and he made it very clear. And I think this half of the season, he's going to make a big statement. You know, I mean, right now, it's a little bit, and because he started this season off a little bit slow. The whole team started the season off a little bit slow. They kind of caught up a little bit. But, I mean, to say that Pete wants to leave New York, I mean, I think it's like that. Thinking like I'm ready to get the hell out of this place. I don't think so, Keith.
No.
I think he wants to stay here. He wants to make a name. He wants to be a lifelong Met. You know, and if Steve Cohen wants to give him $300 million 8 years or whatever, people are throwing out numbers out there. Look, I think that if he can make a statement this second half, if this team can make a run in the wild card, can make a run in the playoffs, you know, then I think Pete, you know, he deserves to be a lifelong Met. And I think Cohen sees that. We have players on this team that are really going to be the heart of this clubhouse for years, you know. And I think that Pete, the Met fans that are saying Pete ought to go and things like this, are Met fans that the second one of our players do bad or one of our players is having a bit of a slump, to kick them out, get them out. You know, my dad is like that. My dad is like, get rid of everybody. But when everybody's doing good, oh, Pete is the best. And he starts comparing him to Judge. And all these. No, Pete Alonso is a power hitter. He isn't going to hit over 240, maybe 250. You know, 30, 32 home runs in a season is a decent season. You know what I mean? So I think if he gets 32 and maybe 8, that's a good season for Pete, you know? So I can't sit and listen to Met fans saying to get rid of Pete. Listen, I love Pete, and if you're a Met fan, you ought to love Pete, and you ought to root for him to stay a Met for life and retire at this club.
Hey, there it is. Nacho in Bergen County just told y'all about Pete, and Pete. No three-peat, but Pete should stay a Met, and he's going to have a big second half. He's not going to have a $300 million contract. And it's not just Steve Cohen's evaluation and feelings for him. It's David Stearns. And I had a take earlier in the week that got put on a quote card. And shout out to our digital team. Those quote cards, they be hitting, boy. Because all you take is one sentence. And people see that quote and they're like, no. Well, what's this guy talking about? So what I was actually talking about was watching the Red Carpet Show. The MLB Network Red Carpet Show, which was excellent this year. And shout out to Lauren Gardner. I think she wrote that it was their second most watched telecast. Let me actually, you know, confirm exactly what that was. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching that more than the Home Run Derby. And shout out to my good folks over there at MLB Network. It was just well produced and they did a great job. And Lauren Gardner said she learned today that the encore presentation of the 2024 Red Carpet Show was the second most watched telecast in the event's history. When I watched it, I saw Pete Alonso strut out there with the black hat, the black cowboy hat, an all-black suit, white shirt, and then the bolo, the cowboy tie. And he's talking about the country singer that's going to be singing the national anthem and how much he's enjoying it in Texas and how he fit in and you know, he dressed the part. And so I put out a take saying maybe he's got an itch to leave. Like, he's not a New Yorker. He's not from up here. Maybe he has a little bit of an itch to go back to the South. And the only reason I leaned into that is because the Texas Rangers could use a guy like Pete. The Houston Astros could use a guy like Pete. And I don't think he'll actually get to scratch that itch. I don't think they're trading him. And I've been very vocal about the fact that you have the richest owner in the sport. And if they want to keep Pete, similar to Saquon Barkley, but not similar to Saquon Barkley, they can say, hey, Saquon, hey, Pete, go test the market. Come back to us. And I don't think Pete is going to go out there and get a $300 million offer. And looking at Scott Boras and his contracts, bros, what are we talking about? There's no 8-year contracts for Scott Boras anymore. All his clients are signing 2-3-year short-term deals, prove-it deals with opt-outs. So that's what's in Pete's future, and that is affordable for the Mets. It's playing into the Mets' hands. So far, first half has played into the Mets' hands. They didn't need Pete Alonso to win. And Pete Alonso's not having an Aaron Judge type year where you're like, oh, yesterday's price is not today's price. You're going to have to pay the man. So Pete is always going to say, I don't want to be traded. I want to be a Met. Of course, that's what he has to say. That's what Boras is telling him to say. Boras is nudging him like, hey, bro, Steve Cohen's a billionaire. don't even give him an inkling that you might want to leave. But Keith McPherson looks at the MLB Network show, and this guy's dressed as a cowboy. He's talking about country music, and I'm realizing this guy's from Florida. I'm like, maybe he does have an inch to go to the South. Maybe he does have a little bit of a thought, like, hey, if I get traded, like, Max Scherzer got to go to Texas, like, DeGrom signed with Texas, like, Scherzer got to go to Texas, the Houston side, maybe it wouldn't be too bad. Maybe I fit in over here. 888-808-1019. But again, in my heart of hearts, in my thoughts, my takes as a radio host and a sports analyst, why are you trading Pete Alonso? He's a guy that can hit 40 bombs. He's your cleanup hitter. He's the face of your franchise. And you guys are just down on him. It's just crazy to hear this guy get blamed for Francisco Lindor and Brandon Nimmo not going to the All-Star game. It's crazy to hear this guy, his batting average. The same people that tell me batting average doesn't matter, Keith, are the same ones that are like, he's hitting 240. I thought batting average didn't matter. Oh, well, he's not hitting enough homers. He's not driving in enough runs. It's the first half. What if he has a huge second half? What if he propels you to a postseason spot? What if he hits in the postseason? He's the face of the franchise. I just think that there's a good shot that he stays. But it's all on David Stern's evaluation. And last year, when there were rumors of him being possibly traded to the Brewers or Cubs, where was David Stearns? With the Brewers. So I think David Stearns got a good grip on this. And I also think that Pete, no matter, you know, what people say about him, oh, you know, the humping of the rail, the LFGM, oh, this guy's not like Lindor and Nimmo. He's not buying guys dinners. Yeah, he doesn't have a big contract. But I do think he's a big part of the team. I do think he's a big part of that clubhouse. You guys tried to throw him under the bus last year. Oh, there's problems in the clubhouse. It's Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso's a clubhouse cancer. No, he's not. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross, you're on the Fan. What up, kid?
Hey, Keith. It's been a minute. How's it going, man?
It is going.
Yeah, hey, man. So I had to call. Long story short, I've been doing this. I don't know if you ever heard of the sports broadcasting camp they do over in Montclair State.
Of course. I'm waiting for the invite. I'd love to go to camp over there. I'd love to learn some stuff.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. We actually, FAN's own Pat Boyle was one of the moderators, so I had to give him a call. I told him I'd met him. Yeah, I met him the past couple of days, told him I'd call his show up, and I don't know if there's a way he called back-to-back shows or not, so I know I got you every night. I figured, you know, take a couple of days look, but you know, I was just catching along.
Ross, listen,
I heard
man.
You talk about these PB and everything.
PB is faster than Tiki Barber and in better shape than Sean Morash. And if you look at Twitter,
Pat Boyle
posted a thirst trap, shirtless pic. He doubled down on beating Tiki in the 40. And hear me clear. The only person that might even be close to racing Tiki Barber, and I don't think I could beat Tiki Barber, is me. I'm the only one here that has a clock 4-5 that you can look up on the internet. I don't think anybody else is getting close to it. You guys don't remember Run Tiki. Being the lightning, Tiki breaking away. Tiki still got
that it. That was the first week of Evan and Tiki. Well, it wasn't race to Tiki, but they had Morash running the third baseline at some part to see if he was faster than Giancarlo Stanton. Remember that?
Of course, right down the street.
That was all over Twitter. And I tell you, there is nothing better than FAN replies mentioned anything. Like, I saw Jerry Recco getting flamed. He had, like, someone said he shopped at, like, Men's XL or whatever because his shirt was, like, a 4XL.
he had the big button down.
Pictures of Evan. And I'm not one of that's why I think, dude, honestly, I'm not, this isn't a plug. I fit right in because it's self-deprecating humor. The station, you know what, it's a mixed bag, dude. And you know what, sometimes some people, you know, you embrace it. And it's hilarious, dude. And I saw you talking about online presences online, too. You know, you talk about Twitter X. Whatever you want to call it, ever since Musk took over, you know what? It's a cesspool, but it's good for a laugh every once in a while. But other than that, man, I'll say this real quick about Alonso. You know, speaking of being mixed on something, I do my podcast, I call up on here, and honestly, I don't have an answer for it because myself, you know, speaking for myself, one day this guy, will, you know, like the last guy said, he'll knock two homers out of the park. Next year he'll go 0-for-5, and three of those will be, you know, high leverage situations. And it's not even so much about comparing markets. It's just overall, I don't know if this is a guy I want to sign long term. And then if you look at David Stearns and Cohen, you're looking at two completely different ways of managing a baseball team. Obviously, Cohen, and he kind of, you know, backed off the pedal a little bit, you know, from 22, where he just went balls to the wall, spending everything. Meanwhile, you got a guy like David Stearns, where he plays the money ball type regime. So I honestly could not answer you what they're going to do with this guy. And honestly, my own answer. It seems like every other day I got an opinion on whether they should keep him long term or if they should bring in a guy like Christian Walker, who could probably produce just as much, if not better.
Dude, so, you got to give up. You're gonna have to give.
Rushmore.
The Diamondbacks aren't far behind the Mets in the standings. You'd have to give them a lot to get Christian Walker. And as
I'm talking about offseason more.
Oh, in the offseason, well, even at this trade deadline.
Yeah.
Like, let's get to the trade deadline first. It's 12 days away. If everybody's down on Pete Alonso and his homers and his batting average, you think the rest of the league is like, yeah, let's go get Pete Alonso? I don't think so, man. And I think David Stearns is going to look at offers. Maybe he'll answer the phone, and he's going to say it's not worth it.
I think, I think he'd be more aggressive with the starters, because I always bring up when he moved Josh Hader when he was in his own wild card, like two games out of his own wild card race back, and I think it was was it 21 or 22 when the San Diego went out, got Hader and Soto. I think it was 22. But Milwaukee was like two games out of the wild card race then, too. And he had no problem getting rid of Hader, and they basically stayed competitive till the end. They wound up not making it, but I don't know if he's going to do that. You see guys like Severino, Quintana, with how stacked the starting pitcher market is, too. I don't know if he's going to try to blow up the rotation and try to use those pieces to add to the bullpen, or I honestly don't know what to expect from this guy. So, and let's see, honestly, the on-the-field product, too. You see the OMG and everything. It seems like this team, they'll win 12 games in a row 1 week, then they'll lose five, and people like me and Frank will say the season's over. So, you know, every week of Mets baseball, it's a gift from God, man.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ross. And I know the Mets went on that road trip and they split, so what? Like, you got to look at the grand scheme of things, the hole that they dug themselves out of, the vibe, the energy, the feel of the Mets. That's why I give David Stearns all his credit. Even today when I opened up talking about that video, I'm like, this was cool, man. A Mario Kart-style Mets video going through the schedule. Going through the schedule for 2025. Like, that's something that kids are watching and sending to their friends. I'm a grown man watching it. I'm not a Mets fan. And I'm like, they're hitting the nail on the head. They're doing the little marketing things. They have McDonald's involved. And I know you guys got to trust David Stearns at this point. And I know he's going to do the right thing. 888-808-1019. He's not going to give Pete away for nothing. And I just don't think he's going to give Pete away. Here's a list. So we're going to go through all the lists. SNY's list of the top 10 New York athletes right now. Not now, but right now. I mean, there's two Mets in there, and they're not Pete Alonso. Snub. Pete Alonso is the first Mets honorable mention. But at number 10, it's Dexter Lawrence from the Giants. Number 9, Sabrina Ionescu from the Liberty. And I have a note here about Sabrina. As much as we talk about Pete Alonso doing the home run derby and Aaron Judge should do it, you know, Aaron Judge is leading the league in home runs. Why doesn't he do it? And then we always want to pivot to LeBron James not doing the dunk contest. How come Sabrina Ionescu and Caitlin Clark are not doing the three-point contest in the WNBA All-Star game? In the WNBA All-Star festivities? Nobody cares about that? Okay, I'll keep it rolling. Just a thought. Artemi Panarin comes in at number 8 for the Rangers. Number 7, Brandon Nimmo. Number 6, Sauce Gardner. Number 5, Igor Shesterkin. Number 4, I thought y'all hated this guy, Francisco Lindor. Number 3, he's only had a cup of coffee right here. It's Juan Soto. Number 2, all rise. Here comes the judge. And number 1, Jalen Brunson. I mean, the guy took a $113 million discount. You will probably never see that happen again. But you'll also probably never see a guy have his dad coach the team and have his college buddies all assemble around him in the place that he grew up in, the team that he grew up rooting for. You know the number to dial. Let's keep it rolling. Gary in Waterbury, Connecticut, my guy. Thanks for holding. You're on the Fan.
Yeah, quite possibly the longest hold ever. Yo, and it's Fear the Cavalier. You know it's G-Make. And it's Foo Philly. Foo everything Philly. You know we're keeping it real with that. And you did mention that. And Cashman still sucks. We got to keep it real. And you won't be around next year. My rap's too severe, kicking mad flavor in your ear.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yo.
Boom.
Yo, hooking it up. Yo, and shouts to my brother McDougal and Rinaldi, avid listeners, you know. Shouts to Parrish Smith and Eric Sermon, too. Are you willing to give up Jones for the pitching help that we need?
Nope.
You are.
I know every.
Because they're going to have to do it.
Every Yankee
they're
fan
gonna
now
have to do it.
Is because they're seeing all these rumors of like, okay, Garrett Crochet from the White Sox. The
they're
White
gonna
Sox.
Why? They're going to have to give up Jones, though.
Why? And this is what I'll tell you. You said Cashman sucks. You know what Cashman doesn't suck at? Finding random relievers at the trade deadline. Like, our current closer right now, they won't move off of him. They got him for Hoy Park. He's good at finding random relievers at the trade deadline and turning them into something. You do not have to give up Spencer Jones for Garrett Crochet.
They're going to have to give him up. They're going to have to. What else are they going to give up?
Give up some lower-level prospect and get somebody else.
Yeah, but we need good pitching.
I think we can get good enough.
Either way,
bullpen or start.
Garrett
Crochet is the leader in strikeouts in the American League. I don't think we got to get the top of the top. I think there's going to be a lot of teams lined up for him. And, of course, with the Yankee tax and the eternal Yankees GM, the price is always going to be higher. Spencer Jones is one of their top prospects. Spencer Jones, I just see Spencer Jones.
I know.
I see him. He's a.
I know.
They call him a baby judge, a left-handed judge. He runs like a gazelle. Nobody is judged, but you understand? Like, imagine.
I know, but prospects are suspects.
Imagine we don't re-sign Juan Soto. Imagine Juan Soto becomes a Met. Who are you putting in the outfield next year?
JD Dominguez.
Yeah, but center field. I could see Spencer Jones with the way that he runs, learning how to play left field. He's already been playing left field.
Well, they could put a scrub in center. They still have the lineup to support.
I think.
And how many wins for Dallas, Keith?
For the Dallas Cowboys?
I need that too.
I think the Dallas Cowboys over under is at like 10.5.
No, but how many? You said nine earlier. Really?
Is 10.5, and I'm going 9 because I think they have too many problems. CeeDee Lamb wants a new deal. Who's the Cowboys' second best receiver behind CeeDee Lamb? If Dak doesn't have CeeDee Lamb, which he will, but like if Dak doesn't have CeeDee Lamb, who's he throwing the ball to?
Who's your favorite Dallas player right now? I know you're going to say
Troy Aikman.
Current on the roster. Mine is Neighbor.
Micah Parsons.
Mine is Neighbors on the Giants. I'm all in on Neighbors.
You guys love Malik
Who's
Neighbors.
Your current?
You haven't seen him play in that Giants number 9.
Exactly. I know, but it's either Dexter or Neighbors. But who's your favorite current Dallas?
Number 11, Micah Parsons. That's the only current jersey I have. The Lion. The Lion is always hungry. Thanks for the call, G-Make. 888-808-1019. I don't want to talk about the Dallas Cowboys, but we will. Brian in Rutherford, stay on hold. I'll get to you with the Cowboys stuff. I get it. And we got to talk about the future of the Yankees. I'll give you this thought, and we'll come back and revisit it after the break. How do the Yankees improve this team right now for this push in a week in AL to end the 15-year drought and win a World Series with Juan Soto if they already have eyes on the future and having a sustainable payroll and having young guys like Anthony Volpe, Austin Wells, Ben Rice, Oswaldo Cabrera, Jason Dominguez, and Spencer Jones starting for them to bring down the cost of Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Gerrit Cole, and maybe a $500 million contract with Juan Soto. Think about it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Oh, yeah. Let's get back into it, man. A beautiful night. I just looked out the window, and I'm almost never here when the sun is setting, but I'm like, look at the clouds. Look at the sunset. Crazy sunset. If you're riding somewhere, drive safe. If you're home safely, cool. Let's get back into the conversation. So, yeah, unfortunately, the Dallas Cowboys won a Super Bowl when I was 4. It's the first one I remember seeing. And I jumped on that bandwagon. And there was nobody there to tell me, nah, don't do that. And it was cool for a little while. But as I've gotten older, I have pretty much ended every football season the same. September, Sundays are fun. You'll lose a game a month through October, November, December, right? Cowboys are able to win 12, 13 games, a lot. And then inevitably, you get to the playoffs and it's one and done. You get to the playoffs and it's depression, sadness, embarrassment. Fool me, can't fool me again. That last one, that one broke me down. They said we had the softest landing spot, right? Didn't get the Buccaneers, didn't get the Lions, didn't. We ended up getting home field advantage to face Jordan Love, a first-year quarterback, and the Green Bay Packers, whose like average age was 25. The Dallas Cowboys had won something like 16 games in a row in Jerry World. But you know what? Jerry Jones made some kind of deal with the devil, and Jerry Jones is always meddling and always doing things. Not like John Mara. Do not compare John Mara to Jerry Jones. And in my heart of hearts, I believe the Dallas Cowboys will never win a Super Bowl while Jerry Jones can see it. Brian is in Rutherford. Brian, you're on The Fan in New York.
Keith, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Good. I went to pick up my son from work and heard you talking about the Cowboys, and I was compelled to call.
Are you a Dallas fan?
My kids are. Yeah, I am. I'm 50 years old. I got three kids. And,
they're all Dallas
outside
fans?
Of my one, my one son went rogue. He's a Seahawks fan, but everybody else, they're all Cowboy fans, even my wife. And I feel your pain. As every year, my son, especially my oldest son, he's 20, gets jacked up every year, and then we just fall right on flat on our face, right?
Yeah, got good players, right? You win games during the regular season. You stack wins, and you get a good seating, and yep. You get all excited for playoffs, right? Everybody gets jacked up for the NFL playoffs, and when you look around here, not a lot of times are the Jets in the last 13 years. And, you know, here and there the Giants are in it, but then, you know, as a Cowboys fan, you feel good wearing your Cowboys gear to the grocery store on Sunday morning. You feel good.
Right.
And then
exactly.
You're embarrassed and you pack that up and you put that away for months. And then August comes. This August, I'm not breaking out the Emmitt Smith jersey, the Troy Aikman jersey. I'm going to wear the NFL shield.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's tough. You know, I usually keep my expectations tempered, but last year that was a tough one. I agree 100%. Like you didn't expect to lose that game. You thought they'd
not,
at least
not like that.
A really good shot to go into the championship game, at least the NFC. That's all I want to see right now is just an NFC championship. I'd be happy with that.
I thought they had a chance. I thought they had a clear chance. I'm like, they beat the Lions. See, that's what got you, right? They beat the Lions, and you're thinking, we beat the Lions. Well, who else? You know, right. We wanted to meet the Niners. No. You couldn't even get past the Green Bay Packers in your own building. Kids. Bunch of kids.
It's tough, but you know what? We got to hang in there, and I'm just hoping to see right now. You know, I was in my glory, my early 20s, and we were winning Super Bowl 3 and 4 years, and should have won 4, actually. But, you know,
triplets.
It's been ever since, but
Hall of Famers.
I'm not disagreeing. Not disagreeing about Jerry Jones maybe being the selling a soul to the devil and all that good stuff.
Yeah, he does too much, and he makes so many mistakes. And as somebody who's followed the team and followed a lot of the Dallas Cowboys content creators, a lot of them have reached out to me and brought me on their show, and we talk about it. They talk about all of the mistakes that he's made in this modern-day NFL. Like, CeeDee Lamb should have been paid already. And now the price is just going up because Amon-Ra St. Brown got paid, Justin Jefferson got paid, all these other guys have gotten paid. What are you waiting on?
Well, what they wait on is the fact that they sit there and they restructure contracts year in, year out, and then they find up, they wind up getting stuck with these contracts, and they can't pay these guys. So that's,
Zach Martin last year was the guy holding out, hey, I want my money. I'm a Pro Bowler. I'm arguably the best guy you have on this offensive line. They paid Trayvon Diggs. Trayvon Diggs obviously got hurt. You can't predict that.
Yep.
But, you know, right now the thing that is grinding my gears the most is Jerry Jones doing the whole, when Zeke went to Cabo in 2018, when Zeke went to Cabo and was holding out 2 years before they had to pay him.
Yeah.
And Jerry Jones said, Zeke who? Tried to call his bluff.
Right.
But then went back on that and gave him a 6-year, $90 million contract to a running back.
Right. So you just don't do it. First of all, you shouldn't even be drafting running backs that
drafted
high.
Drafted him four
round.
Overall. I wanted Jalen Ramsey that year. I wanted
So did I.
I was sitting in the Buffalo Wild Wings in Times Square. It was brand new. And I wanted Jalen Ramsey. We needed a corner. We still need corners.
I agree with you 100%. Let's just hope that they, I don't know, keep holding out. I don't think Dak's the guy either. But
nope, he's not. I don't know how many times we got to go through that one. Like, he's a good regular season quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he doesn't have what it takes. He doesn't have that will to win, that the stones. He throws interceptions. He panics. He forces the ball. He can't get it done
right when
the lights are bright.
You saw it last year in that game. I mean, he was awful in the beginning of that game.
And we saw
he put up some gaudy numbers because they were losing by 30 points the whole game.
And we saw it against the Niners the years before. We saw it against the Packers. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it. I'm over it. That's why I can't do it. I'm stuck as a Dallas fan. And you pick your teams and you stay loyal. I always encourage everybody, stay down till you come up. But this is different. Like, we're just down. And there is no come up until Jerry Jones falls back and says, okay, somebody else is going to do this. Kind of like, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll coming in and John Mara saying, you guys got it. I trust you. However long it takes.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm hoping to call you back one day and we'll, hopefully they can win a Super Bowl one of these days and we can just discuss it then. But until then,
that'd be
I'm
cool,
with you 100%.
Thanks
for having me on.
Thanks for the call, Brian. I don't think Jerry Jones deserves it. Jerry Jones says, I'd do next to anything to win another Super Bowl. Yeah. And you can't. You can't even get to the NFC Championship. Here's another list. Top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. I did this earlier in the week. Dak Prescott comes in at number 10. He was getting MVP votes. He led the league in touchdown passes. Jared Goff at number 9. I'm fine with that. They got to put more respect on Jared Goff's name. When the season opened up and the Lions went to Kansas City and knocked off the defending champs, I said, is Jared Goff better than Daniel Jones? Because at the time, Daniel Jones had the money. He didn't have the money. Number 8, Aaron Rodgers. That's the first one going from the 10 spot that I have a problem with. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been tackled in a long time. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been playing NFL football for a while. Aaron Rodgers is 40 coming off an Achilles tear. I know we're going off of what we've seen of Aaron Rodgers over the years. I don't know if he's a top 8 quarterback in the league right now. I could be wrong. Let's see. C.J. Stroud deserves to be where he is, maybe even higher, actually, because C.J. Stroud, I know, they're going to say, he only did it 1 year. He's a rookie. But just watch the tape and watch what he did in the playoffs. C.J. Stroud comes in at number 7. Justin Herbert, what has he done in the playoffs to come in at number 6? He's got the look. He's got the arm talent. He's folded. Matthew Stafford at 5, right in the middle. You got to do that. Talking about arm talent, talking about winning a Super Bowl, talking about a guy that they traded for specifically to put that team over the top. That's the last super team to get it done. I have a problem with the 2-time and now reigning MVP Lamar Jackson coming in at 4. They just disrespect Lamar. What else you need to see? You need to see him throw? That's what he did this year. He lost his number one target in Mark Andrews. And then in the playoffs, unfortunately, against the Chiefs, they abandoned the run. They tried to throw too much. That won't happen this year. King Henry's in the backfield. Number 3, Josh Allen. Turnover machine. I think he's overrated, but I can understand putting him there because when he's in the red zone, he's unstoppable. But what have they done? They failed. They lost a bunch of games. Joe Burrow at number 2 after not playing last year. I respect Joe Thorough, Joe Scheisse, but we overhype Joe Burrow. He's the highest paid player in the league. We overhype Joe Burrow off of one Super Bowl appearance. He himself said, when you don't play football, people forget about you. He's on a mission. I can't wait to see him because I think as a quarterback playing the position, he plays it as well as anybody. But, we got to see it, man, to put him as the number 2 guy. He didn't play last year. And number 1, of course, no argument, It's Patrick Mahomes. 888-808-1019. So I gave you guys some time to think about how do the Yankees do both. How do the Yankees add at the deadline? Because they have to give up prospects to add to this team. But then if you give up your top prospects, how do you have a sustainable payroll in the future? When we come back from this break, we'll hit that. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB. Lord, I don't cry no more. I don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on many men. Many, 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 many men. All right, yo. Quickly here before we go to the 9 o'clock break update. Keith McPherson on the Fan, obviously. List. I'm just going to keep going to the list. Here's where the top 10 teams stand as we get ready for the second half in Major League Baseball. Number one, the Philadelphia Phillies. Number two, the Baltimore Orioles. Number three, the Cleveland Guardians. What? Number four, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Okay.
Number five, the Atlanta Braves. Okay, number six, the New York Yankees. All right. Not top five. Number seven, the Boston Red Sox. Number eight, the Minnesota Twins. Number nine, the Milwaukee Brewers. Number 10, the Seattle Mariners. What does that tell you, folks? Because a lot of those teams... I don't know. Let's take a call. I'll get back to it. Lou is in Astoria. Lou, you're on the Fan again.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. Before I go to the Yankees, I like to promote that running thing for you, between you and Kiki. I believe that at 100-meter, you can beat them if you train correctly. No, because... No, he's a better athlete. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
he's much better.
And long distance, he runs every day. Long distance, he will kill anybody. But I believe in a 100-meter dash, you can dust him.
I forget what my 100-meter time was. I'm a long
strider.
Don't say it,
because I want. Hey, listen, don't scare him. I just want you to challenge him. Okay.
Tiki doesn't fear anybody. Tiki used to go.
I understand that, but you know what. He thinks he said it. It's nobody can touch him. I just want you to keep quiet, but I'm pretty sure I heard
you. All right, so now I got to get back into sprint shape. Now I got to get back into the 100-meter dash.
People saw you running, and you was incredible. I mean, you know, I don't know if you caught a ball or whatever when you guys played in a softball team or whatever. Okay, my second thing is about Alonso before I go judge. Alonso, people got to stay off the guy. You know, he goes to the home run derby. Not only just to freaking because fans love that, but he also contributed money to a foundation which nobody else does. Okay? The guy has a good heart. Like you said, let him play out. Let's see what he does. You never know. Remember when we wanted and they put him batting first and shortstop Francisco Lindor?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, he's everybody's favorite. Okay?
Yeah.
So let it go. Like you say, I agree with you 100% what you said today. Now, about Judge and Junior, I also get the lefty. He went on the
Juan
social
Soto?
Media. Nestor Cortez,
okay.
Yeah. But then Judge goes again, the same thing. I agree with Junior, but then Judge goes on social media and said, well, we need to be buyers. But then I said to myself, Judge, all you have to do is forget about the regular season. If you would have hit in the playoffs like you get paid for, okay, we would have two championships already. Can you get that done? That's my problem right now with him. How about him saying, listen, I haven't done anything really in the playoffs. I'm going to give you 100%, and I'm going to give it a shot. And I tell you what, it's me to blame, nobody else. You take care.
Thanks for the call, Lou. I mean, Judge is the captain. He is the best player on the planet. He is the face of the franchise. And this is his era, the Yankees. If you thought he was under a microscope chasing the American League home run record, everybody's going to be paying attention to what he does this October. He can't fold. He can't struggle. He can't slump. And we've already seen him this year start the season off in a slump. And then he had a little mini slump here before he broke out of it while the Yankees were struggling a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, Judge was vocal about being buyers and not sellers. Obviously, they're going to try and add. But the thing that, you know, and we've been playing this drop before we go to break, I'll get this in. The thing that's bothered me about recently what Judge said was, oh, yeah, well, you know, if we would have started the season and you would have told us, you know, look at the standings, we'd be, you know, in second place. He might have said it not exactly like this. You know, 58 wins, a game out of first. You know, everybody would have signed up for that. No, you're supposed to be in first place. Stop looking at 82-80 saying, oh, well, it's better than where we were last year. Last year was an aberration, right? That was supposed to be an outlier. That was unacceptable. The New York Yankees can't say, oh, well, if you would have told us we'd be in second place, a game behind the Baltimore Orioles. Nobody's supposed to take that. 888-808-1019, 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM returns right after this.
Been 4 years and should have won four, actually, but yeah,
triplets.
I've been ever since, but
Hall of Famers.
I'm not disagreeing. Not disagreeing about Jerry Jones maybe being the selling his soul to the devil and all that good stuff.
Yeah, he does too much, and he makes so many mistakes. And as somebody who's followed the team and followed a lot of the Dallas Cowboys content creators, a lot of them have reached out to me and brought me on their show, and we talk about it. They talk about all of the mistakes that he's made in this modern day NFL. Like, CeeDee Lamb should have been paid already. And now the price is just going up because Amon-Ra St. Brown got paid, Justin Jefferson got paid, all these other guys have gotten paid. What are you waiting on?
Well, what they wait on is the fact that they sit there and they, you know, they restructure contracts year in, year out, and then they find up, you know, they wind up getting stuck with these contracts, and they can't pay these guys. So that's,
Zach Martin last year was the guy holding out, hey, I want my money. I'm a Pro Bowler. I'm arguably the best guy you have on this offensive line. They paid Trayvon Diggs. Trayvon Diggs obviously got hurt. You can't predict that.
Yep.
But, you know, right now the thing that is grinding my gears the most is Jerry Jones doing the whole, when Zeke went to Cabo in 2018, when Zeke went to Cabo and was holding out 2 years before they had to pay him.
Yeah.
And Jerry Jones said, Zeke who? Tried to call his bluff.
Right, right.
But then went back on that and gave him a 6-year, $90 million contract to a running back.
Right. So you just don't do it. First of all, you shouldn't even be drafting running backs that
drafted
high.
Drafted him four
round.
Overall. I wanted Jalen Ramsey that year. I wanted Jalen.
So did I.
I was sitting in the Buffalo Wild Wings in Times Square. It was brand new. And I wanted Jalen Ramsey. We needed a corner. We still need corners.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I agree with you 100%. Let's just hope that they, you know, I don't know, keep holding out. I don't think Dak's the guy either. But.
Nope, he's not. I don't know how many times we got to go through that one. Like, he's a good regular season quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he doesn't have what it takes. He doesn't have that will to win. That the stones. He throws interceptions. He panics. He forces the ball. He can't get it done.
Right.
When the lights are bright.
You saw it last year in that game. I mean, he was awful in the beginning of that game.
We saw
he put up some gaudy numbers because they were losing by 30 points the whole game.
And we saw it against the Niners the years before. We saw it against the Packers. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it. I'm over it. That's why I can't do it. I'm stuck as a Dallas fan. And you pick your teams and you stay loyal. I always encourage everybody stay down till you come up. But this is different. Like, we're just down, and there is no come up until Jerry Jones. Like, falls back and says, okay, somebody else is going to do this. Kind of like, you know, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll coming in and John Mara saying, you guys got it. I trust you. However long it takes.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm hoping to call you back one day and we'll, you know, hopefully they can win a Super Bowl one of these days and we can just discuss it then. But until
that would be cool.
I'm with you 100%.
I don't think.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for the call, Brian. I don't think Jerry Jones deserves it. Jerry Jones says, I do next to anything to win another Super Bowl. Yeah. And you can't. You can't even get to the NFC Championship. Here's another list. Top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. I did this earlier in the week. Dak Prescott comes in at number 10. He was getting MVP votes. He led the league in touchdown passes. Jared Goff at number 9. I'm fine with that. They got to put more respect on Jared Goff's name. When the season opened up and the Lions went to Kansas City and knocked off the defending champs, I said, is Jared Goff better than Daniel Jones? Because at the time, Daniel Jones had the money. He didn't have the money. Number eight, Aaron Rodgers. That's the first one going from the 10 spot that I have a problem with. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been tackled in a long time. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been playing NFL football for a while. Aaron Rodgers is 40 coming off an Achilles tear. I know we're going off of what we've seen of Aaron Rodgers over the years. I don't know if he's a top eight quarterback in the league right now. I could be wrong. Let's see. C.J. Stroud deserves to be where he is, maybe even higher, actually, because C.J. Stroud, I know, they're going to say, he only did it 1 year. He's a rookie. But just watch the tape and watch what he did in the playoffs. C.J. Stroud comes in at number seven. Justin Herbert, what has he done in the playoffs to come in at number six? He's got the look. He's got the arm talent. He's folded. Matthew Stafford at five, right in the middle. You got to do that. Talking about arm talent, talking about winning a Super Bowl, talking about a guy that they traded for specifically to put that team over the top. That's the last super team to get it done. I have a problem with the two-time and now reigning MVP, Lamar Jackson, coming in at four. They just disrespect Lamar. What else you need to see? You need to see him throw? That's what he did this year. He lost his number one target in Mark Andrews. And then in the playoffs, unfortunately, against the Chiefs, they abandoned the run. They tried to throw too much. That won't happen this year. King Henry's in the backfield. Number three, Josh Allen. Turnover machine. I think he's overrated. But I can understand putting him there. Because when he's in the red zone, he's unstoppable. But what have they done? They failed. They lost a bunch of games. Joe Burrow at number two after not playing last year. I respect Joe Thurrow, Joe Scheisse, but we overhype Joe Burrow. He's the highest paid player in the league. We overhype Joe Burrow off of one Super Bowl appearance. He himself said, when you don't play football, people forget about you. He's on a mission. I can't wait to see him because I think as a quarterback playing the position, he plays it as well as anybody. But like, we got to see it, man, to put him as the number two guy. He didn't play last year. And number one, of course, no argument. It's Patrick Mahomes. 888-808-1019. So I gave you guys some time to think about how do the Yankees do both? How do the Yankees add at the deadline? Because they have to give up prospects to add to this team. But then if you give up your top prospects, how do you have a sustainable payroll in the future? When we come back from this break, we'll hit that. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB.
Lord, I don't cry no more. I don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on many men. Many, 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 many men.
All right, yo. Quickly here before we go to the 9 o'clock break update. Keith McPherson on the Fan, obviously. List. I'm just going to keep going to the list. Here's where the top 10 teams stand as we get ready for the second half in Major League Baseball. Number one, the Philadelphia Phillies. Number two, the Baltimore Orioles. Number three, the Cleveland Guardians. What? Number four, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Okay.
Number five, the Atlanta Braves. Okay, number six, the New York Yankees. All right. Not top five. Number seven, the Boston Red Sox. Number eight, the Minnesota Twins. Number nine, the Milwaukee Brewers. Number 10, the Seattle Mariners. What does that tell you, folks? Because a lot of those teams... I don't know. Let's take a call. I'll get back to it. Lou is in Astoria. Lou, you're on the Fan again.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. Before I go to the Yankees, I like to promote that running thing for you, between you and Kiki. I believe that at 100 dash meters, you can beat him if you train correctly. No, because... No. He's a better athlete. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
much better.
Long distance, he runs every day. Long distance, he will kill anybody. But I believe in a 100-meter dash, you can dust him.
I forget what my 100-meter time was. I'm a long
don't
strider.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Listen, don't scare him. I just want you to challenge him, okay?
Tiki doesn't fear anybody.
I understand that, but you know what? You know what? He thinks he said it. It's nobody can touch him. I just want you to keep quiet, but I'm pretty sure I heard
you. All right, so now I got to get back into sprint shape. Now I got to get back into the 100-meter dash.
You running, and you was incredible. I mean, you know, I don't know if you caught a ball or whatever when you guys played in a topo team or whatever. Okay, my second thing is about Alonso before I go, George. Alonso, people got to stay off the guy. You know, he goes to the home run derby, not only just to freaking because fans love that, but he also contributed money to a foundation, which nobody else does, okay? The guy has a good heart. Like you said, let him play out. Let's see what he does. You never know. Remember when we won and they put him batting first, and shortstop Francisco Lindor?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, he's everybody's favorite, okay?
Yeah.
So let it go. Like you say, I agree with you 100% what you said today. Now, about Judge and... Nestor Cortez.
Okay.
Yeah, but then Judge goes again. The same thing. I agree with Junior, but then Judge goes on, you know, on social media and say, "Well, we need to be buyers." But then I said to myself, Judge, all you have to do is forget about the regular season. If you would have hit in the playoffs, like you get paid for, okay. We would have 2 championships already. Can you get that done? That's my problem right now with him. How about him saying, listen, I haven't done anything really in the playoffs. I'm going to give you 100%, and I'm going to give it a shot. And I tell you what, it's me to blame, nobody else. You take care.
Thanks for the call, Lou. I mean, Judge is the captain. He is the best player on the planet. He is the face of the franchise. And this is his era of the Yankees. If you thought he was under a microscope chasing the American League home run record, everybody's going to be paying attention to what he does this October. He can't fold. He can't struggle. He can't slump. And we've already seen him this year start the season off in a slump. And then he had a little mini slump here before he broke out of it while the Yankees were struggling a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, Judge was vocal about being buyers and not sellers. Obviously, they're going to try and add. But the thing that, you know, and we've been playing this drop. Before we go to break, I'll get this in. The thing that's bothered me about recently what Judge said was, oh, yeah, well, you know, if we would have started the season and you would have told us, you know, look at the standings, we'd be, you know, in second place. He might have said it not exactly like this. You know, 58 wins, a game out of first, you know, everybody would have signed up for that. No, you're supposed to be in first place. Stop looking at 82-80 saying, oh, well, it's better than where we were last year. Last year was an aberration, right? That was supposed to be an outlier. That was unacceptable. The New York Yankees can't say, oh, well, if you would have told us, we'd be in second place, a game behind the Baltimore Orioles. Nobody's supposed to take that. 888-808-1019, 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to AM returns right after this.